Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back in making his third appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, like I say, is former Steelers punter Craig Colquitt. Let me remind you a little bit about Craig's background. He's from Knoxville, Tennessee, played his college ball at the University of Tennessee, and he became their punter from 1975 to 1977. In 76 and 77, he was named to the All-SEC team. His senior season, he was second in the nation in average yards per punt at nearly 45 yards. He was drafted in the third round by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1978, and he kicked in the NFL from 78 to 1987 with the Steelers and the Colts. Helped the Steelers win back-to-back Super Bowl championships in 1978 and 79. In 2009, he was inducted into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame, and we are very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Craig, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for coming. Thank you.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you, Craig.
Okay, good. Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing good, Craig. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Craig, I wanted to start our time tonight with you by getting your thoughts on what's going on recently with our Pittsburgh Steelers. Boy, as a lifelong Steelers fan, I never would have guessed the drama that we're seeing with the Steelers would have happened. I want to get your thoughts. If Chuck Knoll was still the head coach of the Steelers, how would he have reacted to things like we're seeing with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell? Would he have put up with that with Swan and Harris?
Number one, first of all, Swan or Harris wouldn't have carried on like that, number one. You know, the social media has changed the game in that regard. It become like a movie star sort of syndrome. So, yeah, I hate to see that. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it doesn't even make sense. I hate to see the drama. I kind of was excited when I was reading Antonio may come to Cleveland. But then I texted Britton there. I said, you know what? That would be a defeat, actually, for Antonio to come to Cleveland because he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And Pittsburgh have a chip on their shoulder. So, I can't imagine that kind of chemistry going on. It doesn't make a lot of sense, really, and especially some Pittsburgh.
And Craig, speaking of chemistry, with both of those guys and the situations they have, boy, that's just got to be a huge distraction in the locker room because the media wants to talk to you about it every time you turn around. It's got to just irk you because you're looking at your team thinking you got an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, but then your Pro Bowl running back isn't there. You got your wide receiver carrying on. It's just got to destroy it from the inside out. How much does chemistry play into the ability of a team to actually go out and be successful?
Oh, 100%. You know, you watch sports for years, and we have a starting quarterback or a key player go down, just physically go down. You know, the team just is sort of looking at each other, you know, now what do we do? So, but then when you have a distraction like this, that's counterintuitive, to say the least. I don't know how you pull back from it. You know, you might want to cancel the schedule for a year and regroup. So, but back to your original question, I think Chuck Knoll fired everybody starting over.
Bob, questions for Craig?
Hey, good talking to you again, Craig. And your rookie year in 78 was Roy Girella's last year. And, you know, I think for guys my age, we remember the heyday of Girella's Gorillas. I mean, he didn't have too successful a year that year. Of course, they won the Super Bowl. But I wanted to get more into your head about him, Craig. I mean, he was kind of a cult hero there for a while. How was he as a teammate? We know punters and kickers usually hang out. Was that the case with you guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Roy's significant other was a heck of a cook, so I was hanging around with them all the time. I was I was single my first 2 years, so Roy and I were really close. You know, we Roy's not much of a talker. Let's start with that. But I'm very much a talker. But I'd walk over there and get a feel for atmosphere and what he thought was going on, because Roy's first passion is to coach. So then he can help me in that regard. But Roy was, at that time, and I told him it was himself, he was his own worst enemy, because Roy would wear screw-on cleats, you know, even on artificial turf. And that's, your feet are everything to you as an athlete, but then especially kickers. And couldn't get him to take that screw-on cleat off. And, you know, he'd slip and fall. And Chuck's thing was kickoffs. He didn't want kickoffs past the 25 yard line. And Roy would miss it quite a few times, just a little bit slip. So that's what hurt him at the kickoff. That's why he brought Matt Marr in, and Matt's pretty accurate as well. But that was it. Roy had a great career, great guy, loved him to death, hadn't talked to him in years. But he defeated himself with his equipment.
Hey, Craig, we've well documented the success of your sons, Britton and Dustin, and many people out there would probably say, well, they were probably forced to punt by dad. I mean, but was that the case? I mean, did you feel any pressure that you put on them at all, Craig? Or was that something they really said, I want to do what dad does, and discovered it on their own?
Now, Dustin didn't start playing football till before his senior year in high school. And when he first started punting, he was holding the ball with his right hand, kicking his left foot. So it was a huge challenge for him to become ambidextrous. But Britton, on the other side, he started playing when he was in the 10th grade. So he had a jump on Dustin in that regard. And Britton is more natural anyway. So, but to answer your question, they were soccer players. They loved soccer, but there was no future, no offers. Dustin got an offer from Brown that I would have to pay for the first year if he makes the team. And that was $38,000 right there, and I wasn't making $38,000 at that time. So I said, let's put on the football team and see if that works.
And Craig, speaking of Dustin, and obviously over there punting for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they came close last season to unseating the Patriots in the AFC. How energized is he and the rest of the Chiefs now with Pat Mahomes at quarterback and really looking ahead to next season as an opportunity to perhaps take it a step further and getting into a Super Bowl and perhaps winning one?
All right, yeah, they're still licking the wounds. You know, that the AFC champion game sickened me. I mean, a couple of things happened that game that shouldn't have happened. And so I'm still bitter. But they're incredibly talented. I think you're going to see the Browns play the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. Because the Browns, with Dorsey as GM, he's doing amazing things. And they don't have a first-round draft pick, but they have second, third, and fourth high picks. So pretty exciting. Pretty exciting to watch to see what happens for both of them next year, actually.
Yeah, and that was sort of my next question with Britton. I mean, boy, he's got to look at what's going on around him and the trades that they've made and the free agents that they've signed. And now all of a sudden the Browns, you know, go from a team that was sort of a laughingstock a couple of years ago to escalating their game, certainly, you know, right after, you know, shortly into last season when they started to win and got themselves back in and around 500. But boy, when you look at what they've done, they certainly won the offseason, and now they're a sexy pick to win the AFC, you know, North, let alone maybe being another team that could contend with the Patriots next season. Boy, he's got to be really happy seeing what's going on around him.
Oh, he loves it. You know, he'll have competition this year, because that's where Dorsey is, the GM. He wants to push the Colts. He said his words, says they do better when they have competition, especially younger people against themselves. But yeah, he's thrilled. I'm thrilled. I think anybody that loves watching football should watch what John Dorsey is doing, because He just has a ability of pulling people together. So he did that to the Chiefs for years. And, you know, Andy Reid is just really taking that to the next level as well. So I'm excited for it. I love Haslam. I love Khalid. I love the attitude up there. So it's the same feeling in with the Chiefs in Kansas City. You just love to be in that environment. It's just a good feel.
Bob, one more for Craig before we let him go.
Yeah, and Craig, for all the success that Dustin has had on the gridiron, I'm sure you're even more proud of him having been nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award this past year for all his humanitarian stuff. Is this something he's always been cognizant of? It's really an incredible honor.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up, by the way. Happy birthday, too.
Thank you, sir.
That's Dustin. He's a give back, written to give back. I was really, really excited to see him get that nomination because, number one, like Tony Collins was saying, I'm a running back fan myself. So Collins and Dorsett, Walter Payton, you know, I watch these guys. And for Dustin then to get that award, it's just a thrill for me, or get the nomination, because the charity he's involved with, I think it's 35 professional stadiums and race car that they work at. Now it's going into a college venue as well, where they give free dental care to inner city kids. So it's amazing, really, what they do.
And that's Craig, before we let you go,
smile. That's right. That's it's teamsmile.net, I think, or it's org. I'm sorry, can't remember, but check that out. It's amazing where they go across the country.
Craig, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with what you guys are doing on social media and online as well.
I've got a website, craigcolquitt.com. I did a children's book. It's kind of laid to rest right now on sale, still available on my website. But would love for somebody to check that out. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well, but not doing a lot in that. I'm looking at a business right now with some guys that has some technology that could have a huge impact on CTE, drug addiction, and just athletic performance. So that's coming. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, Craig, we hope when you're ready, you'll come back and share, you know, more of your stories plus that as well with us, because we always have a great time when you're a part of the show.
I'll reach back out to you, tell you where we are, because we're having meetings quite often, and I'm really excited to see what's happening. So, but yeah, I appreciate you having me on very much.
Please do. Thank you.
Thanks, care, guys. Craig. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Good night.
Go Tennessee,
Craig. Indeed. That's the great Craig Colquitt. And Bob, you know, what a great kicking family. And two sons having a great deal of success. He's having, obviously, had a great deal of success in the league. And now, of course, rooting for his alma mater, University of Tennessee, in the NCAA tournament. But always great having Craig as part of the show.
Yeah, the first family of punting, Chris, without question. Also had a nephew that did a lot of punting. So you can say it's genetic.
Indeed. All right, we've got our next guest, Dick Butkus, hanging on the line. Going to get to Dick right on the other side of this real quick station break.